Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. We hope the start of the day is treating you good for this April 26, 2023. 7:04 on the clock, you got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And Seth Hatbagger.
Good morning, everyone.
We're here to make sure that your Wednesday starts off right, and we're going to make darn sure of it. We got our National Day of calendar coming up in a little bit, a bunch of stuff in there. It's a big one today, so we're going to have to make some room for that.
Okay.
We got new marshmallows to talk about.
New marshmallows?
Yeah, yeah.
New ones?
Yeah.
What?
I'm not even a big marshmallow fan, and I saw the headline. I'm like, ooh, that sounds interesting. Be getting into that a little bit later. We have, of course, if you're a bad driver, who you can blame, we've got that.
That My should be dad.
You have no idea how right you are. We'll be getting into that. Interesting about sunburns. We're going to get into sunburns a little bit right now and why that's topical right now. And a little bit later in the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to get into the very important question because here at WFHR, we do not blink. We look things straight in the eye and we handle them. Is the thumb a finger?
Oh,
we are going to debate this. We are going to decide it once and for all in the 8 o'clock hour, because we are brave. We face these things.
Tough questions.
The age old question.
Yes. We've got to get into this. All that coming up. 8 o'clock hour is a jam packed one. We're going to have Misty's menu, but we're going to kick it off with our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We'll get into that random question about the thumb and the finger and all that, then of course Misty's menu birthday and anniversary club. And it's Wednesday after Melissa's news. That means that we'll be joined by our friends from Quality Plus Printing with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Yay, Phil!
Nice. Phil Hartley going to join us. We'll see what word Phil's going to add to our lexicon today.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock hour, going to be a lot of fun. Then a right stories, good stories of the day. A ton of entertainment news I want to get into as well. For now, Melissa, how you doing? How's Abbotsford?
It's still here.
Oh, you haven't destroyed it yet, huh? Okay, that's good.
Nope, I've left it intact.
Of all the responses, I don't know why, but that took me off. That was great. That was good.
I had to make coffee this morning. I wasn't gonna, but I had to.
That's okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I was gonna say thank you for that. I appreciate you doing that. Is there many things better than waking up in the morning and having your coffee already ready? Like, no, I don't mean like prepared, like, you know, but it brewed already.
Yeah, an automatic brewer kind of thing.
That is one of the greater inventions we have. Like, when you don't
have it, it's pretty handy.
Yeah, when you don't have it, you know, it's one, because I'm a planner, so I usually set my coffee up in the morning, and then, you know, I'll just hit the button, and by the time I'm ready to get going after having my contacts in or whatever, it's already brewed.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like waking up and it's already ready to go for you, and
it really wakes you up.
It's your friend. It wakes you up. It says good morning. Hello, good morning. I'm here for you, all brewed and ready to go.
Coffee's never in a bad mood.
Let's take on the day. I've heard that. Coffee, never in a bad mood. We're very, very happy to have you with us, Ballista. We'll try to make sure that your mood stays somewhat good. How's your morning going, Seth?
It's going pretty good. I'm enjoying as when we get the sun these last couple of weeks. I'm just it makes me very happy to see the sun.
Yeah, there's nothing like it. No. I don't know. I get the first days of winter, even the first real good heavy snowfall or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't mind it. I enjoy it. I take it in and everything. And it doesn't take very long before the cold is too much for me and all that. And I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember getting tired of spring or summer or fall. I don't get that way. I think winter is, it tests us. It really does. It's part of the reason why Midwesterners are so strong-willed and so have a good...
Got to make it through those winters.
Good work ethics, a lot of those things. I'm not saying that every single person in the Midwest is like that, of course, but I think that overall, you get that around the country, you ask people. I know when I was in California, for one, though, to be fair, in California, they think everything after Nevada is the East Coast.
Yeah, right.
So that doesn't really help you much there and everything, but most of the people that I talk to in California that understand geography,
right?
They have such a respect for the Midwest and the people in it and everything. There's a lot of stereotypes, but
built-in perseverance.
I think winter is a big part of that. I really do. It's something. We're just here's hoping that we are done with the snowfall for now and everything, and we can keep moving forward.
And Seth, I'm a little bit opposite of you. I do enjoy the sun a lot too, but I really like rainy days. Like
you
I'm
do.
Oh, I'm with you too.
Yeah,
really?
I do. Oh, okay. I like rainy days.
Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Nicely done. I'm with you, Melissa. I'm a good for. I'll say though too, it doesn't take me a lot to get tired of the weather. Like it doesn't matter what it is. If we've got 10 days in a row of 90s or 10 days in a row of rain or whatever it is, you know, that day one, I'm great. Day eight, is this enough? Like I think it's my favorite part
well,
about.
It's a good thing you live in Wisconsin then.
Right. Yeah. Well, to add to that, I was just going to say, I think my favorite part of the weather is the change, the way that it changes and everything. That there's even in California, a place where it looks like the weather's kind of boring, it changes up a bit. It does. Once you get used to it, especially too. A lot of fun things to get into this morning. I don't have any reason to bring this up, but I have to.
All right.
I was doing my homework this week for Star of the Day. Got a good one lined up for you. Be listening for that this Friday. I think you're going to enjoy it, and I think you're going to have a little nostalgia thrown in there with it as well. But I was going through, and I came across an interesting kind of stat, a random fact, I don't know, just kind of thought it was cool. Maybe cool, interesting, whatever. I love random information.
All right.
Things that will never help me in life, but for some reason they're stuck in my brain like chewing gum on the bottom of my shoe. Like, I can't get it off. Like, it's just there. I've shared a lot of these kind of things with the audience, usually involving entertainment or that kind of thing. This one, a little bit of entertainment, but I just think it's cool. Do either of you know, and no searching, I want not just you two, but I want the audience to play along at home, no using your search engines or anything like that. Do you know what the first toy was that was advertised on television?
Ooh.
Yeah. Wasn't it like the Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls?
Is that your final answer?
that is my final answer.
Okay. Seth?
Wow. Lincoln Logs.
Good guess. 424-2600. Anybody wants to call up and take a guess? I'll give this a minute. 424-2600.
I'm trying to think. So this was like back in the late 40s.
The early days of TV.
Yeah.
Early days of TV.
To give you some context to everybody. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lincoln Logs is a good guess because, I mean, I thought of Legos, but I don't know if those were around.
I don't think they were around by then, no.
That's a good question. No. That's a good question.
But I know, like, certain toys have been around for a long time.
Yeah. And that then was the Raggedy Ann and Andy dolls were something fairly early, I think.
Yeah. I think you're
definitely,
right. Yeah.
Definitely.
For sure.
The Lego brick is our most important product. We are proud to be named the toy of the century, Legos have been. They debuted in 1958. 1958 Legos.
Okay,
Early enough.
Not early enough. Unless they waited a long time to advertise toys on TV, which is possible too, I guess. But
I don't know, though.
Four, three, two, one. Okay. All right. So we're gonna close the phones for now. Going to April 30th in 1952, when Mr. Potato Head became the first toy advertised on television.
Nice. Oh wow.
I'm gonna argue that my answer was closer than Seth's because it's closer to a doll.
Yeah. I like it. I like that.
Whatever gets you through the day.
This was the first commercial to be aimed directly at children. Before this, commercials only targeted adults. This commercial revolutionized marketing and caused an industrial boom.
Wow.
And it took them that long to target children?
Right.
Wow.
That's really remarkable.
That's surprising.
I'm very surprised by that. Yes,
yeah.
I'm with you, Melissa. That's why I had to bring this one up. First off, that it was Mr. Potato Head. I didn't know that Mr. Potato Head has been around that long.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is awesome. That is really cool. I just got a Mr. Potato Head like a while back for a 3-year-old. So I just think that's really cool that it's been around that long and it's been that popular and everything.
Wow.
It's used that much still.
It wasn't controversial until recently.
Yeah, right, of course. I love how these things are around for 50, 60 years, and then all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, wait a minute, I'm offended.
Just now, not before, now.
Yeah. It took me 50 years to find my offensiveness, but here it is, I found it. It was in the wrong pocket, that's why. I don't understand that stuff. I think there's something here, too, about advertising and how difficult that game can be, but also how vital and important it is to pay attention to your audience.
Yeah.
Your audience tells you how to advertise.
That's true.
Advertising doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that difficult.
Uh-uh.
Maybe writing an ad, maybe coming up with a catchy jingle, all that stuff. I'll give you that for sure. That very difficult.
There's creativity involved there, yeah.
Yeah. But the idea of, hey, what is my audience like? What does my audience prefer? Are they a local audience? Are they a rural audience? And they prefer local things and local advertising mm-hmm, and that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know, us here, you know, just as an example and everything. Now, we could easily be advertising things from that are national things. You hear that on CBS News at the mm-hmm. end of their breaks. You hear yep. other things and stuff. But it's not like it's not just our content people are listening for. Like, I think we have some great voice talent on here. I'm not necessarily including myself in that, but I think we have some really good people. Not, of course, our people that are under the Civic Media umbrella, not just us, but Chris, and I think she's amazing, and so on and everything. But it's also our guest hosts, Terry, Katrina, you know, when mm-hmm. Moselle has joined us, Martha has joined us, all these people throughout the years that have joined us. You notice a theme here, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
These are local people talking about local things. And advertising local advertisements.
Yeah.
We have local people on here advertising with us. So if you are a local, you're going to hear about a business or a deal or a sale that's going on in this area mm-hmm. because that's what applies to you. Because
right.
that's what makes
where
sense.
Where you drive past when you're on your way home from work.
Yeah.
This isn't too hard. It isn't that difficult. But it shows how difficult it can be when you live in a bubble or if you don't listen to outside sources.
Yeah.
It took mm-hmm. them how long to realize, wait a minute, we're not advertising to kids?
Yeah.
Well, why should we advertise to kids? Kids don't have any money. Excuse me, ma'am, sir, you have money. You are the parents.
Yep.
Go buy your kids some stuff. Yeah. Here's a Mr. Yep. Potato Head. This isn't like rocket science or anything.
Yeah, right.
There are parts of advertising that are difficult. But in essence, if you pay attention, listen to your audience, that's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the decision's made for you. All the heavy lifting's done. Oh, you can put your mind and your focus on other things.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite interesting.
It is. It's fascinating.
Mr. Potato Head would have never guessed that. Would have thought the sock monkey?
The sock monkey would be one.
What's a commercial for like Jax? How do you sell Jax? Like
that had totally crossed my mind. I don't know if there's ever been. We have to look it up. See if there's ever been a commercial for Jax.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
I remember the Slinky commercials, and I remember like even the kid in the commercial, like it would go down a step and then he got bored. Like I'll never forget that. Like I even as a kid watching that. See, you go ahead and pull it up and watch it, everybody. Like, at least that's the way I remember it. That kid seemed bored, like, after it hit the first step and everything.
I can't make mine work. Why doesn't it work?
Well, that's how that was my crux. Like, it never seemed like, especially in the high rises, you've got all these steps and everything.
Yeah, right.
So, like, we didn't have a lot of toys, but almost everybody had a slinky.
Slinky, right? Yeah.
And mine was broke. I don't think it worked. It'd always go like one step, and that was it. It would just stop.
You got
like,
the laziest slinky.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I got the laziest slinky. I think you're right.
I'm done. I just one step.
It may
I can
have been
do.
Bent. I'm not sure. Now I'm pretty sure it was a hand-me-down. So
it might have been all tangled already. Yeah.
We'll take a break right here. We're going to come back with our national date of calendar. It's Melissa, Seth, and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, James here with you. Time to dive into our national day of calendar for this April 26th.
All right.
It's National Pretzel Day.
I like
pretzels
big,
are good.
I like big pretzels, not little ones, though.
I like big pretzels, and I cannot lie. Yes.
I was just going to do that, too. But I was going to sing it. I like big pretzels and I cannot lie.
See, now that's the way to do it. That's the way to, I haven't woken up enough. Yeah, that's
there you
the way
go.
To do
very
it.
Nice.
We're going to get actually into this a little bit more later. We've got some stats and some things about National Pretzel Day. But pretzels are great. Well, is there a history here? I like that this calendar, this particular one that I've been using, gives us a history of these things. When it works.
When
the computer works.
Come on, interwebs.
Yes.
Let's work here.
Interwebs.
Nope, it has no history. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, let's see. Legend has it, at some time during the Middle Ages, Catholic monks were trying to figure out what to do with little bits of dough they had that were left over after baking their loaves of bread. They didn't want to be wasteful, so clever as they were, they came up with what is now known as the pretzel. The method included folding the dough into the shape of praying hands, or a knot that represented the Holy Trinity. depending on who happens to be telling the story at the moment.
Of course.
Which is great. That's great.
I think that's awesome. Yeah.
That is really cool. Huh. That's very cool. I would have never known that. And actually, now I'm never going to not be able to see it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how you guys are. I shouldn't say eat a lot of pretzels, but I would say that at least a couple times a year I do.
So yeah. Eating pretzels?
What's the best thing when you're at the mall and your mom gets you a big giant pretzel covered with the salt?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Cheese.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
when
good
I used
stuff.
To eat cheese.
Yeah, eating pretzels? Who knew? Holy thing.
Yes. Yes.
Just eat a pretzel and it's holy.
Hey, some of us need all the points we can get, all right? I'll take it.
Gotta
I'll
get
take
them somewhere.
It. Yeah, I'll take it.
Gotta come from pretzels? Well,
that's like a tasty way of
I'll
doing
sacrifice.
It, right?
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
But St. Peter ate tons of pretzels. But let me in. National Administrative Professionals Day. Administrative professionals keep our world turning behind the scenes. They're our first point of communication in organizations. So thank you very much to every single one of them out there.
Yes, indeed.
We love you, Pam.
Mm-hmm. We love you, Pam.
I hope that the audience, especially new members, understand this. When I say that Pam Hilke is the heart of WFHR, I'm not just trying to be nice or metaphorical or
He's
anything.
Not kidding.
I know I can be a lot of the time, so it's kind of hard to decipher when I'm not being. But no, it's the actual legitimacy of that. It's the truth of it. Not only has she been here so long and has the connections she does. You talk about knowing your audience. Pam knows this audience.
Yes.
But her spirit and her heart, her vibe of this in this place is so integral. Mm-hmm. I genuinely don't know, how to do this job without her. Honestly, like I my whole radio career, I've worked with her except for a couple of years here and there when I was at the other station and stuff in Plover. I've always worked with Pam, and she's always been that rock. Like not just when I've been in this position, but when I was part time, getting like 5-10 hours a week or whatever, and everything, still treated me the same exact way.
Nice.
It's one of the coolest things about her is the way that she treats everybody equally and everybody the same.
Very cool.
And she's incredibly good at what she does. The audience doesn't know this, but the last couple of months, we've got a change going over with our systems that we use to get everything out there to you guys out there. You're not going to notice much of a difference to our listeners and everything. Maybe you've noticed.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, behind the scenes. Pam has been working her tail off learning this new system. She is, you know, to be real about it and everything, she's closer to retirement than she is to her first day.
Of course.
She doesn't have to be doing this stuff and everything, but she loves this job, loves these listeners, and loves this station.
Yep.
And it's not just one new system. There's multiple new systems.
That's correct. Yeah. You got it.
And I share this not only to give credit to Pam, hopefully, and to let the audience know about, you know, how important it is, these people behind the scenes, but also the other administrative professionals out there, because there's plenty of others that are doing similar things to what Pam's doing, and we appreciate every one of them.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
World Burlesque Day.
This is on my bucket list. I'm going to do this someday,
burlesque?
Guys. Yep.
Yeah. I have heard that there are certain, maybe Madison? That you can, I think my sister did that, if I remember correctly, going out and learning a little burlesque show, learning a little dancing and stuff. She's had a lot of fun, I think, when she did it, so.
We've had a lot of students do this.
Oh, okay.
Like, they've got a lot of these shows, and like outside of Chicago and in the city and stuff, and yeah. I've never heard anybody say they did not enjoy themselves and have a good time doing it. Alien Day.
This is not one I'm going to do, though.
No. Host a movie marathon, read a graphic novel, or break out the Alien video games to honor Ridley Scott's iconic and beloved science fiction franchise. Over 40 years ago. It was 1979 the first Alien came out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Up until recently, they were still kind of making them, too, with the Prometheus movies and everything,
that's right,
and the prequels and all that. I don't think that everybody's going to like those movies, but I will say I think everybody has a Ridley Scott movie they like.
I think you're right.
I almost dare say that it's hard to think that there isn't at least one Ridley Scott movie people like. So I kind of flipped this a little bit, and I would turn this into a Ridley Scott Day. and just honoring one of our better directors, one of our cooler directors, too. You talk about a guy who not only took chances with scripts and storylines, but with actors, and gave a lot of actors a lot of chances. What's his name? Larry Hockman? Or the guy who had... The alien come out of his chest, I believe.
Lance Hendrickson.
I believe he gave Lance Hendrickson his start. A great character actor.
Yep.
Sigourney Weaver. Like, Sigourney Weaver was not a household name before Ridley
alien.
Scott.
That's
you know,
right. Yep.
And everything. I don't know about you guys out there, but I'm dang thankful to have Sigourney Weaver in the acting world and everything.
Yes. Blade Runner. That's my favorite Ridley Scott movie.
It's hard not to say it, right?
Yep.
It's and you know what? Even if because I've gone back and watched the original a couple of times, the director's cut version, all of that. I've seen every version of it, and I don't know how perfect of a movie it is or anything, but the concept, the challenges, the things he was doing, you see in almost every modern movie nowadays, the influence that people had from Blade Runner.
Yep.
And that last scene. That last scene with Rutger Hauer and Harrison Ford is still one of the greatest final scenes in a movie of all time. Mm-hmm. It's not the final scene in the movie, but one of the final scenes.
His final speech, yeah.
Yeah. I've done it in monologues and gotten people crying from it.
Wow.
Like, it's just one of those pieces that's so good. It's a sci-fi movie. You wouldn't put that much into it. That's where Ridley Scott gets you.
Mm-hmm.
He takes these things that are kind of... You know, we don't take too seriously and then hit you with the serious.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think anything's happening. Everybody's having a jolly good time. And then all of a sudden, guy's on a table and aliens popping out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Great director.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will be watching one of his movies very soon because I'm reading the book, The Martian.
Oh.
I didn't know he directed that. And now I want to watch the movie after I finish the book for the second time.
My mother.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Are you enjoying the book? Because my mother and sister
loved it. Oh, yeah. I loved the first book.
Yeah. My mom and sister loved it.
The first time I read it.
I've got a list from my mother and my sister. Two separate lists of books. And it's on there. I just can't see it because there's so many books on those lists.
I'm sure there is.
Well, Andy Weir is an amazing writer. I finished one of his other books here recently, Hail Mary, which was also really, really good.
Hmm.
Actually,
cool.
I think better than The Martian. But... still really good.
I don't think I've read anything of his, but I want to.
You'd like it.
Yeah. He seems like that kind of author.
It's an easy read, and it sucks you in.
Nice suggestion. Maybe we should be doing more of that. Book suggestions. Do a segment of book suggestions.
There you go. Yeah.
I think that there's something there. Actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just throwing it out there, but now that I'm chewing on it, I'm like, oh, I give myself more work. Yes.
Yeah. That's what you need to do, man.
I'll take that one on, James.
All right. There we go.
You got someone who's willing to do it. There you go.
National Help a Horse Day. That's a great one. I would say that, you know, going to a horse and saying, hey, you know, what do you need? You know, do you got enough jeans? You got enough pants? You want some new books to read? Do you want? No. No horsing around here.
You're cute.
Today is an opportunity for you to be a good neighbor. I like that one. I didn't like the horsing around one, but that one I liked. I could do that. I'm a dad. So I can tell dad jokes. It's okay. This is an important occasion. It aims to raise awareness of these struggles that equines all over the world face and contribute to efforts saving them from cruel and inhumane situations.
Mm-hmm.
Civilization is not where it is without horses.
Oh, nope. Yeah, 100%.
Nope. We can't. We wouldn't be where we are.
Nope.
I don't think anybody can deny that.
Nope.
We have been doing a pretty good job, I think, overall. What am I saying? We haven't been doing a good job. We've been trying to make up for a lot of things of the past. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of that stuff going on. And correcting the past. There is no correcting the past. The past happened. We own the past.
Mm-hmm.
We make use of it, understand it, learn from it, all of these things. But one of the things that it certainly does for us, too, is gives us perspective and understanding. Horses have done a lot for us. We owe it to horses. Every single horse, from now until the end of horses, to take care of horses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here without them. That seems pretty fair. That seems like a pretty fair trade-off here. Hey, thanks for helping us make civilization, farm our fields, get us from place to place, mm-hmm. all of these other things. We're going to keep you guys around and make sure.
Effectively.
Yeah. I don't think this is a PETA thing. I don't think this is an animal rights thing or something. This is something that we owe. We owe this to them. Like I don't think that there's even a question about this. Horses are very distinctive animals, well known for their grace and beauty. While there are over 300 different breeds, they can be grouped into three main types: hot bloods, which are fast and bold; cold bloods, which are strong and calm; and warm bloods, which are a blend of the two and tend to be good for riding. Which, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard them broken down that way.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting.
My grandfather used to say it that way. He'd also use some choice words about it, too. Yeah. Alongside the loyal dog, horses are often referred to as man's best friend. And it's no wonder. Over the course of human history, these majestic beasts have been the backbone of civilization and have done much of the heavy lifting in human endeavors, often literally.
Yes.
Tamed around 5 millennia ago, equines have been crucial across a wide range of areas, including transport, agriculture, warfare, and ceremonial occasions. Most recently, they've also become a staple in the world of sport.
Wow.
And yet there is a dark side to the history with horses, with mankind often treating these dedicated animals with cruelty and contempt. In recent years, stories of their neglect and abandonment have also continued to rise, as some owners have found the cost of looking after them simply too much to cope with. Thankfully, there are organizations out there that will take in horses. There is the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals that was founded back in 2014. Well, its origins go back farther than that, but
yeah.
1863, it looks like it goes back. But
yeah. Right.
Yeah. Anytime you can add to these things and help and take away the cruelty of anything to any animal. Yeah.
And I think of how horses continue to help us today in like Jeremiah's Crossing in the area here.
Yeah.
A yes. Wonderful service for children to go and learn riding, and it's for therapy and stuff, which is just amazing to me. That's just remarkable. Yeah. See, they're even helping us with therapy.
Are really cool.
Yeah.
It's really neat. There's also the Midwest Horse Welfare Foundation that's in our the Midwest area there. That is a great organization to check out if you want to help.
Nice.
We've had groups of both of those join us on the air before.
Cool.
Great people. Great people on both those organizations. Speaking of animals, it's International Guide Dog Day.
What?
It's a great one.
Yes.
Thankful to, very similar with what we were saying about horses.
Yeah, exactly.
Dogs have been there helping us out from day one.
Yeah, exactly.
Guide dogs provide constant aid, protection, and companionship to people with various disabilities and special needs. So thank them, and maybe with a treat.
Ask first.
Thank you, Seth. Yes. Ask first. Do not walk up to a guide dog. You know, you have to be treated like a vampire. You gotta be welcomed in. That kind of thing.
And a lot of them have on their collar, "Don't pet me, I'm working."
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, which is so great.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's cute. Yeah. Guide dogs may have been around since 79 AD.
Wow.
A fact which was discovered when paintings of guide dogs being used to help the blind were uncovered on the excavations in Pompeii, Italy.
Wow. Wow.
Again, when we talk about the domestication of animals, when we talk about how we've used them to help our own causes, our own society move forward, we owe it to these animals.
That's right.
That's
take care of them.
And I don't think that's something like that it should be difficult on people. Like this is a good thing. Like these are things that add to the quality of our life, these animals.
Yes, indeed.
Well, and then also, like guide dogs, we're talking about therapy animals. Dogs are able to sense things that even medicine can't necessarily.
Yeah.
I have a cousin who has diabetes so severe that she can just drop into a coma pretty much at any time. They were able to get a service dog that is her constant companion and can sense when that's happening or going to happen to alert her parents.
Yes. Yes, we.
That's really cool.
I know someone very similar situation, except with seizures. The dog. They got a dog that can sense when that's coming on and can warn. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Have we normalized this? Like I know I've heard this 1,000 times in my life, and it never gets old to me. That is amazing.
That's amazing.
I almost swore again. That is amazing. That's how amazing that is.
And the dogs that can, sniff out cancer.
Yeah,
what I was thinking. Yeah.
Remarkable.
Illnesses, and it's so cool.
National Library Outreach Day, another great one.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, and it's National Library Week this week as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
And poetry, I know the Amory Library is celebrating Poetry Day today with a poetry reading.
Nice.
That's cool. We need more opportunities of spoken word in society, of doing spoken word. And I'm not just saying that because I like to do spoken word.
Because you like to talk.
I actually don't like talking. But I was talking to a student about this like a year ago or something like that. She said, "You must really love talking." No, I hate talking. I really actually am not a big talker. Not somebody to like talking. This job has done it to me.
Yeah,
this job has made me. Ask anybody that has to talk to me in my personal life, and I don't know how to answer a question anymore with yes and no. It's, well, I think that...
10 minutes later,
pontificating on
topic,
that.
Yep. Please
look. I just asked you if you wanted if you wanted sugar in your coffee, man. I'm just a barista. Can I just
so sorry, get the next person? Just,
you're holding the history of sugar.
Yeah, you're holding up the line, man. Did you just say going to break? Did you just?
And why did you tell us the time?
Yeah, I didn't need to know that. I got to click. Bookmobiles are traveling vehicles that transport books to local communities. These services are used as much these days thanks to the internet. Bookmobiles have great potential in their ability to inspire and educate throughout their giving books away. The mobile aspect of things is just really cool to me. We're actually going to get into that a little more in our local stories of the day a little bit later. We talk about food trucks and these things all the time.
Yeah.
I always like this stuff. It's the world now.
And there's so many rural areas that you know, they don't have access to libraries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're really, really spoiled in this area. You throw a rock, and of course, you got McMillan, which we love, and we say good morning to all of our friends at McMillan. But you've got the Charles and Joanne Lester Library.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your library in Nakusa. You've got
Vesper.
Vesper has
Friendship
a nice
Adams,
library.
Yeah.
Where to Melissa's point, that's not normal. Like, that doesn't – I've lived in a lot of communities, a lot of places. Even in Illinois, they didn't have a lot of that. Like, not every little community had a library.
Mm-hmm.
They got a really beautiful one in Naperville. Reminds me of the one here. Like,
nice.
It's that kind of old and but still, like, cool-looking and everything. But
yeah,
otherwise –
I'm really impressed with the library here in Abbotsford, too. It's beautiful.
Nice.
I've heard good things about that one.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. Bookmobiles, or buses that transport free library books, is a service that has been around since the early 19th century. The American School Library was one of the first traveling libraries. Published by Harper and Brothers, they would travel to rural towns and small communities and give them the chance to read new books.
Yes.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Horses are even in on this.
Yeah,
that's true.
During the Great Depression, an effort was to bring libraries to remote areas in Kentucky and Appalachia. These pack horse librarians, called the Pack Horse Library Project, brought books to people in remote areas.
Oh, how awesome is that?
I'm writing this down.
Oh,
I need to do a deep dive. I need to...
Pack horse.
Yeah, pack horse.
Library project.
Library project. That is too darn cool, Melissa.
Oh, man.
You rock. That is awesome.
And, you know, that we have all these little free libraries popping up in towns,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
awesome. I love those. And I've used them a couple of times where mm-hmm. I finished, because I keep a book in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm, you know, by myself and I have to eat somewhere, I can just bring a book in with
nice.
Me and read it. But when I finish a book and I'm, you know, driving somewhere, I'm like, oh, I need a new book. So I stop at one of those little free libraries.
Mm-hmm.
I put my book in and I take a new book.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
It's cool.
Good idea. I like that. National Richter Scale Day wraps things up. Learn about the history of earthquakes and how the Richter Scale measures them, or host an earthquake-themed movie party with friends or family. Yeah, the Richter scale is incredibly important.
My house is not wired for Sensoround, so we can't get the old the 70s when they would rumble the seats for the earthquake,
yes.
you know?
Oh, man.
What a great idea that was. Charles F. Richter is who we have to thank for this. This occasion acknowledges the celebration of the birthday of the man who taught the world how to measure the magnitude and impacts of earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have normalized so many things that are just amazing.
Again, yes. It's, it's a remarkable tool. It really is.
It's kind of like, I get this with weather every once in a while. I hear people that, this happened in California a couple of times. Man, they said that wouldn't be a bad one, and it was a bad one. You know, like, did they tell you an earthquake was coming? Like, heads up. Like, they gave you a heads up about an earthquake, man. Like, the weather. Well, they said it would be 85, and it was 80. They got it to 80. Like, they got it that close.
It's amazing.
You realize
it's
we're
impressive.
Dealing... the things that are unpredictable.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I mean, come on. So
half
darn spoiled.
Half a million detectable earthquakes take place every year. Half a million.
Wow.
Particularly those in the places that lie along the rim of the Pacific Ocean, because of this, as well as volcano activity, that is the area that is known as the Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a great Johnny Cash song.
That's
Oh, and did you know that in myths from Japanese culture, they thought the cause of earthquakes came from giant catfish?
Oh, wow.
Well, those are big catfish.
I know we kind of have fun with it and make fun of it in some ways, but there is an innocence to the past that, is a little beautiful to me.
It's nice.
The idea that an animal did this, or there was a great spirit that created this and brought it down, or I don't know. I think some of the stuff is pretty cool and unique. I'm not saying it's stuff that you should believe, but I just think that it's cool the way that we create. We had to problem solve. We had to answer these things. It wasn't just enough answer that the sun rose.
Yeah.
Why?
So you're saying the Earth isn't flat?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Around the globe, there are flat Earthers. Wait, what?
It's so good. It's so good. Please, everybody, if you need a laugh, go to the National Flat Earth Society and look how on their webpage it says, flat Earthers around the globe, with no irony whatsoever. None. We will take a break, come back with after Melissa's news here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we're locally grown radio.
Yo, listen up, here's the story about a little guy that lives in a blue world, and all day and all night and everything he...
How is this a hit? This was a hit.
I love this song.
Oh, I know.
A blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue.
Oh, Millicent knows it.
And yourself and everybody around. Because I ain't got nobody to listen.
Melissa.
I honestly had no idea what the reaction to that song was going to be. I'm like, I don't know if anyone likes it or not. I'm just going to throw it in there. It was a hit, you know. But
I don't dislike the song necessarily. Right? I just don't know how it became a hit.
It's a very simple song. Yeah, it's very catchy.
It's so catchy. It's been used in a couple of a couple of artists have sampled it. Beat has been used again in another pop song. But it was all worth it to have Melissa's karaoke.
That was awesome.
Fantastic. That was great. I don't know if the audience knows this or not. Melissa, one of the greatest karaoke people I've ever been around. Ever. Like, Hall of Fame. Like, she's good.
Aw. Oh, thank you.
Well, I say something nice because I'm actually a little cross with you, Melissa. I'm pulling an audible right now because of it.
Are you giving me a compliment sandwich?
Yes. I'm actually not mad at all. I was really great to hear. I listen to Mel's news every morning and stuff. I love it. I think you do an amazing job with it, Melissa. Included a story that I was going to include in our good stories, our local good stories of the day about the Rolling Paws organization.
Oh.
Nice.
I wondered when you were said mobile.
Yeah.
Talking about that later.
I want to say, because I watch Channel 9 every once in a while and stuff, and Natalie Sapila, a great young reporter over there who does really good work. She is a good journalist. She's a good reporter. She's doing great and only getting better at the job. She tends to run the weekend, front desk and everything, being the lead anchor and stuff. She does a really good job. She did the reporting on it like yesterday, and just a cool interview, cool conversation, a couple of really cool people. If you don't know about them, I encourage you to read more about them. RollingPawsPetCare.com. RollingPawsPetCare.com is the website.
Okay.
For a long time, I've thought that we've needed something like this, a mobile, a pet carrier. Most people cannot. Just sharing a little bit of a story. My sister and her husband had a dog, Ellie, and we knew Ellie for years and years and years. One night at like midnight, Ellie just got really, really sick. And I will not get into the details, but like I've never seen a dog this kind of sick before. The closest we had was a place in Appleton we could have gone. But they told us that they didn't think Ellie would make it. By the time we'd get there and everything. I don't know. Maybe she was going to die no matter what we did, no matter if we were veterinarians ourselves. But it would sure have been nice to fight, to at least try. I'll never live that down. My sister and her husband have forgiven us and all that. Yep. Not forgiven us. They understand that it was just what happened. I haven't forgiven myself for it. I would love to have had these guys around back then. Mm-hmm. Could they have helped us at midnight? Probably not. But at least a little bit better help, a little more, a little closer maybe. You don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know.
Exactly.
I can't imagine how many families they have helped and how many animals they have saved because of something like this.
Exactly.
That is a really cool thing.
And they've gotten a huge response already, like 600 shares on Facebook, and they've only been doing this like a week.
Wow.
A shout out to Sandra Pumper and to Garrett, Garrett Frodo. They're both veterinary assistant. Well, she's a doctor. He's a veterinarian. He's a veterinarian assistant. He's also a mechanic. Does a little maintenance on the side.
And perfect.
They save some money by repurposing an old van and everything to use for this.
Wow, mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Yeah, and they're hoping to expand.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, too.
The good response that they've had there.
Yeah, very nice.
And again, rollingpawspetcare.com, rollingpawspetcare.com.
Very cool.
Nice reporting, Melissa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll talk about National Pretzel Day and more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show, everyone. Melissa, Seth, James here with you. We are having a great start to your Wednesday out there. Did I hear 64 for a high tomorrow?
That sounded nice. I heard something. That's nice.
I like that. That's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Wanted to touch on this one as we go get ready to take you to the top of the hour. After that, we'll have CBS News catch up on all your world news. And then we'll be joined by our friends in the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley, join us with a live and direct update. After that, we, of course, have got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from Phil Hartley and the gang at Quality Plus Printing. We'll touch on new marshmallows. We want to get into that. But we'll kick off the hour with the random question, is your thumb a finger? We will dive into that.
Get into the weeds in that one, yeah.
For now, it's National Pretzel Day, and most Americans would be interested in celebrating without you having to twist their arm. In a survey, 65% of people said that they have a generally positive opinion of pretzels. And 3% love them so much they eat them every day.
Whoa.
Generally positive opinion.
I think we know who should run for president next.
It's pretzel.
65% of the people agree with it. That's pretty good. That's better than most candidates get. I think a pretzel should run. I think maybe.
Mr. Pretzel.
Can it do any, really?
Any worse than,
I don't know. I'm ready to put a dog in the office. Just 9%. Actually, that might not be bad, putting a dog in the office. Just 9% of people don't like them, while 26% are neutral or have no real opinion. Grow a spine. I'm sorry. Come on. It's a survey. Answer.
You don't have an opinion on a pretzel? Have you eaten one ever?
Take a darn side. What are you, Switzerland? Take a side. If you do like pretzels, today is a good day to seek them out because some places are running special promotions. I'm not sure, because our listenership is vast right now. We've got a lot of people around different places listening. Mm-hmm. So I'll go through some of these, even though I know that we don't necessarily have any of these in our zip code or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Because another reason, the names of these places.
Love it.
Like Auntie Anne's, I think everybody's heard of that.
Yeah.
Rewards members can get a free original or cinnamon sugar pretzel today. I've never heard of a sugar cinnamon pretzel. I need to try that.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
We had an Auntie Anne's in the mall in La Crosse when I was a kid.
Mm. Ah, I've only seen them in airports.
Okay.
That's where I've seen them. So.
Wetzel's Pretzels is offering customers a free original pretzel today nationwide from 3 o'clock local time until close.
If your name is Wetzel, you have to go into the pretzel business.
You have to.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yep.
Pretzel Maker is offering a free small order of pretzel bites today, either the salted or unsalted ones.
Okay.
Pretzel bites are good.
Pretzel Maker just feels like you gave up. You couldn't come up with a name.
Make pretzels. Yeah. Pretzel Maker, only better.
Yeah, exactly. Flips.
Hey, maybe that's their family for name for generations.
Yeah, like their last name's
way
Maker.
Way back to the medieval times.
Yes, yeah. I would feel actually a little bad about that if that's true. Yeah. Flips with a Z, of course. known for its chocolate covered pretzels, it can be ordered for free through Instacart today through May 9th.
Wow,
covered pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried.
Oh, those are really good. But the deal is only available for select offerings while supplies last. But that's a good. Oh. That's a pretty nice deal.
Free pretzels.
Okay. I was thinking the big soft ones. Sorry.
Oh yeah, those are really good.
The little hard ones covered in chocolate. Of course,
yep.
I've had.
Yeah.
But the big soft ones dipped in chocolate.
Yeah,
that's what
I don't know
picturing.
If I'd like those dipped in chocolate. The hard ones I like in chocolate, but I don't know if I like. I love the big soft ones though. Mm-hmm. Ben's Soft Pretzels has a promo where they're giving away a free pretzel this afternoon if you donate at least $1 to a Tunnel Two Towers Foundation. That's pretty cool.
That's cool. Nice.
More companies should be doing that.
Yeah, that's
a good idea.
Yeah.
And the Philly Pretzel Factory is giving every customer who walks through their doors a free pretzel. But this deal is only available in person.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's, now that is, it's very similar to the whole you got to download the app and jump through a hoop and all those things. But unlike those things, this to me is very smart. Mm-hmm. People are having a hard time getting people into buildings. Whether we're talking about sporting events or we're talking about retail, that's a great idea.
That is a good one. You get a free pretzel, but you got to come here.
And that's all you got to do. You just got to show up.
Exactly.
Right. You don't have to download an app.
You don't have to get a QR code.
Something else.
Yeah, exactly.
So it could be this most screaming deal of all time. And some of this stuff, I'm like,
Another app? No, thanks.
No. I know I can delete the app afterwards. I don't care. I just don't feel like doing it.
Can you, though?
Yeah, right.
Can you ever actually delete it?
You might be able to delete it, but you can't delete the information they took.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Good point, Melissa. And finally, the Milwaukee Pretzel Company will ship your pretzels for 25% off when you use the promo code NPD25 at checkout today only. Don't worry about writing that down. They have it right on their website for you. So,
there you go.
NPD25 is it. Nice job, Milwaukee Pretzel Company. And that's a good deal. I like that.
We should be known. Wisconsin should be known for its pretzels, considering the German history of this state. There should be some good pretzels around town, around the state today.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mind that, the promo code enter.
Yeah.
Like, that's no different than having a coupon when you were young or anything like that. Like,
it's driving to their website.
Yes. Yeah. That I think is smart. That I don't think is bad, but otherwise. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, have more fun for you on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio.